On May 4th, 2002, as part of Montreal's Month of Anarchy that was organized with the third annual Montreal Anarchist Book Fair, Chekhov Fini from the Workers' Solidarity Movement in Ireland spoke at Café Chaos about the history of social and national movements in Ireland, but also about his involvement in the Workers' Solidarity Movement and how anarchists are involved in day-to-day struggles today in Ireland.
Hello everybody, thanks for coming, and it's a great pleasure to be here, and I'd like to just start by thanking NEFAC for bringing me here. I'm going to be talking about the history of anarchism in Ireland and its relationship with other social movements. The history of republicanism and modern social movements in general in Ireland starts in the 1790s as the ideas of the French Revolution reached Ireland. In 1791, there was the foundation of a group called the United Irishmen. This was the first modern revolutionary movement in Ireland, in that it, instead of trying to go back to something before the British had arrived, it tried to create a modern sort of republic on the ideas of the French Revolution. The leadership of the United Irishmen were generally hostile to socialism in the form of the early trade unions at the time, which were known as combinations. But as time went on, they found that they had to appeal to the people of no property, and so they had to create a space for social movements. In particular, there were reading clubs set up for working men, and they distributed the pamphlet by Thomas Paine, The Rights of Man, and this was the sort of flame that started the revolutionary spirit in Ireland. The United Irishmen were notably anti-sectarian. The leadership were Protestant and the majority of the membership were Catholic. And this was a major thing because in the previous centuries there had been major religious wars in Ireland. In May 1798 there was major rebellions in Wexford, Down and Antrim. And these involved tens of thousands of people. But eventually they were all defeated. And one of the major influences in their defeat was the creation of the Orange Order in 1795, which was set up by the British as an anti-Catholic militia, basically to try and introduce sectarianism into Ireland. Okay, over the next centuries, there was several other rebellious movements against England. But in general, these retreated somewhat from the republican ideals of the United Irishmen and tended to focus on the Catholic majority. Okay. Now, we jump forward to the 1870s, which saw the foundation of the First International in Ireland. They had branches in Dublin, Cork, Belfast and Coot Hill.
Donc on fait un saut dans l'histoire jusqu'aux années 1870. Ce qui est en Europe, ce qui marque la fondation de la première internationale, donc des travailleurs et travailleuses. En Irlande, il y avait des branches de la première internationale à Dublin, Cork, Belfast et Coot Hill.
Coot Hill, yeah. And in mid-February 1871, the International was established. It only lasted about 2.5 months. It was broken up by Catholic mobs who were mobilized by the Catholic Church in reaction to the Paris Commune, when the Archbishop of Paris had been killed, basically, by the Communards. Now, 10 years later, in the 1880s, we see the rise of modern socialism in Ireland, and it was in this period that anarchist ideas first found their way to the island.
1880s, yeah. Donc, dans les années 1880, il y a eu un développement généralement des idées socialistes et anarchistes en Europe, et ça, conjointement en Irlande, l'anarchisme a fait du progrès aussi.
And the first Irish anarchist that we know of was a man called W.G.H. Smart. He wrote articles for a English-based newspaper called The Anarchist in 1880 and 81, and he was actually based in Boston.
Donc le premier anarchiste irlandais connu, c'est W.G.H. Smart, qui écrivait pour des journaux anarchistes anglais. Par contre, pendant une longue période de sa vie, il vivait à Boston, tout près d'ici.
5 years later, in 1885, a branch of the Socialist League was formed in Ireland, and this was set up by an English anarchist called Michael Gabriel. And this group distributed anarchist literature in Ireland, and this was the first time anarchist ideas had ever been brought to Ireland. They lasted 1 year until 1886, when they collapsed due to two reasons. One of the reasons was the leader or the Socialist League in England, which was the sort of parent branch, they split. And the second reason was that Home Rule, which was basically independent rule for Ireland, came to be a big thing. And this is a constant theme in Irish history, that socialist movements and movements of social protest often got swallowed up by the nationalist movement. Whenever it seemed that like nationalism or national rule was a possibility, people who were involved in movements of social protest tended to join the nationalist movements, and so socialism sort of got put off until they could sort out the national question. The early years of the 20th century saw a period of heightened social struggle among the Irish working class. They were living in appalling poverty at the time. The death rate, or the infant mortality rate in Dublin, was 27.6 per thousand, and that was as high as Calcutta. A wave of strikes swept through the country, including, interestingly enough, the Belfast dock strike of 1907, which saw the British Army firing on strikers who were Protestant and Catholic. The ITGWU was a radical trade union formed in 1909 by James Larkin, and it was to be at the centre of this period of heightened class struggle in Ireland. And although the ITGWU was certainly not anarchist, it did have a revolutionary syndicalist structure similar to the IWW. A man who played a very significant role in the ITGWU was James Connolly. At the time the ITGWU was set up, he was in America, where, along with fellow Irishman Patrick Quinlan, he formed a branch of the Industrial Workers of the World in Newark, New Jersey. He went on to become secretary of the IWW Building and Constructional Workers Industrial Union in the area. He returned to Ireland and joined the ITGWU, and by 1913 the union had managed to organise a large number of Dublin's unskilled workers. The bosses became frightened by the rising tide of militancy, and they decided to take preemptive action, and they locked out all the workers of the ITGWU until they agreed to leave the union. And although the bosses did actually succeed in the end in sort of crushing the union, they with the aid of the police and violent state repression, it was very significant that this struggle saw the formation of the Irish Citizens' Army, which was a workers' militia set up by Connolly to defend the strikers from the attacks of the police. And the militia was actually organised by a man called Captain Jack White, who had been a captain in the British Army. He later went on to fight in Spain for the Republican side, and in Spain he became an anarchist. The Easter Rebellion of 1916 saw Ireland depart on a course towards independence. However, it also saw the relegation of the social struggle in Ireland to the national question for a long time. The nationalist leaders of the 1916 rising were generally hostile to socialism. For example, many of the Sinn Féin leadership had been opposed the ITGWU during the lockout. When James Connolly led 500 men of the Citizens' Army into battle alongside the nationalists, he was effectively putting off the discussion of the social questions until the national question could be resolved. Although there were some socialist strands and factions within the Irish nationalist movement, in general the movement just attempted to gain independence from Britain to replace English rulers with Irish rulers. However, the revolutionary fervour of the independence struggle saw several very large instances of working class self-organisation against the British state. The most notable was the Limerick Soviet of 1919, which was inspired by the Bolshevik Revolution, which had recently happened. The workers of Limerick called a general strike and took over the running of their city for 2 weeks in defiance of the British state. The partition of Ireland in 1921, which brought independence for the south, consolidated the triumph of nationalism and saw the demise of the left for a long time in Ireland. Thereafter, the south remained for decades an insular, impoverished country with an intellectual life strangled by the dominant influence of the Catholic Church. To get an idea of what the country was like, in the 1950s, there was a Communist Party bookshop in Dublin, and it was a very small Communist Party. Outside this Communist Party bookshop, there was a constant 24-hour day vigil held by the Legion of Mary, praying for the souls of the communists inside. It was not unusual for Protestants in this in the South to find Catholics outside their doors praying for their souls as well. The country remained very poor, and every year tens of thousands of people left to try and find jobs and some type of social freedom in the cities of England, the United States and Australia. In the north of the country, the British state constructed a vicious sectarian organization of power in order to hold on to control of the country. And during this period, from the 1920s to the 1960s, the unresolved question of the border saw most social discontent in the country being channeled towards the nationalist movement. Most of the there were some socialist movements, but they basically remained as just currents within the overall nationalist movement. The 1960s saw the reawakening of social movements both north and south of the border, and it also saw the appearance of anarchists in Ireland for the first time since the 1880s. The majority of anarchists in Ireland at this time came over to anarchism from republicanism. They had started out as activists within the republican and nationalist movements, but eventually found their way to anarchism. In the north, the civil rights movement took off in 1968. This was when the Catholic population of the north refused to put up any longer with their position as second-class citizens. One of the most important groups in the early years of the civil rights movement was called People's Democracy. And this was set up, although it was eventually taken over by Trotskyists, several of the founders called themselves anarchists. However, the logic of nationalism soon reasserted itself, and the mass popular mobilizations of the early years of the civil rights movement got replaced by the professional guerrilla war of the IRA. And the social question, the question of how the new society was going to be organised after the independence from Britain, was again sort of put off until they could achieve independence. In the South, in the early 1970s, some people who had been members of the official IRA became interested in anarchism, and they established links with anarchists in England. They called themselves by various different names. One name was the Dublin Anarchist Group, another name was New Earth. Their existence was very brief and not very widely known. Many of the group actually got jailed for various different armed actions. Two of the members of the group, Noel and Mary Murray, were sentenced to death for the killing of an off-duty policeman during a bank raid. They were eventually given a reprieve after an international campaign of protest. It must be said, though, that despite their best intentions, they did very little in the way of spreading knowledge about anarchism in Ireland, and anarchism remains almost totally unknown, other than the fact that it was basically equated with terrorism. During the late 1970s, various small anarchist groups emerged in Belfast, Dublin and Ballymena. All of these groups basically attracted people who called themselves anarchists, but they had very little in the way of agreed politics or policies, and they were very completely incapable of taking any common act. In the following years, some of these anarchists began to become disillusioned with the loose and ineffective collectives that they had formed, and they started to have discussions about forming a more politically unified and class-based anarchist organisation. This was a long and painful process. It took several years, but in 1984 it culminated in the formation of the Workers' Solidarity Movement, of which I represent. So our organisation has existed since then, and it is based around the platform. We attempt to build a coherent and disciplined anarchist organisation. Now, I'm not going to go into the detailed ideas of how we organise, but I'm going to just describe some of the actual practical work that we've done over the years. We see our role as trying to basically convince as many people as possible of anarchist ideas, and we think that the best way to do this is within mass organisations of the working class. So therefore, we prioritise work within the trade unions and other mass movements, like mass community campaigns. Within these movements, we concentrate on arguing for democratic structures and for using direct action as a tactic. However, in terms of trade union work, Ireland has been locked in social partnership for the last 17 years, and there has been very, very little rank and file activity. So what we do within the trade unions is basically we will argue for democratic reform in our branches. We also attempt to build networks of rank-and-file activists, and we support strikes whenever they happen. Since the possibilities of constructive work within the trade unions have been limited, we've put most of our energy in over the last 15 years into mass community campaigns. In 1994, the Irish government introduced a tax on water for households. Basically, every single household in the country had to pay several hundred dollars per year for their water supply. We founded a movement of resistance against this tax alongside a number of other activists, but it was a very small movement at the start. Eventually, the movement grew to encompass about 30,000 households in the city, and we defeated the tax after 3 years of mass non-payment and direct action against cut-offs. But we organised neighbourhoods so that whenever the government would send people out to try and cut off the water supply to houses, they would actually blockade the neighbourhoods and prevent the officials from coming in. And whenever the government tried to take people to court, we would surround the courthouse with large demonstrations and try to drown out the proceedings of the courthouse by making so much noise. So eventually the government just had to give up. It was basically unimplementable. They just couldn't collect the tax. And today we're involved in a campaign against a very similar tax, but this time it's on garbage collection. Every household now has to pay $200 for its garbage collection. And this campaign has been running for 1 year, and so far it has been very successful. Only about one-third of all households have paid their tax. As well as working within mass movements, we also think it's very important for anarchists to work against specific forms of oppression and exploitation. So we put a lot of work into campaigns against racism, sexism and religious discrimination. And in these areas, we actually try and work alongside other activists in very broad coalitions. In Ireland has always been a country of emigration until very, very recently. In the last 5 years, we have seen the start of immigration into Ireland, the first sort of non-white people really to live in any numbers within the country. Now, Europe is basically setting up a fortress Europe around itself. Like, immigration is seen as being a huge problem by all of the European governments at the moment. And we see our government basically scapegoating refugees and blaming all of our social problems on immigrants and refugees. In 1997, the Worker Solidarity Movement participated in the formation of the Anti-Racist Campaign. And this campaign concentrates on opposing government discrimination against immigrants and refugees. We also support the rights of travellers. Travellers are an indigenous minority within Ireland. They're very similar to gypsies, although they are ethnically Irish. And we also regularly cooperate with other groups, such as Anti-Fascist Action, to counter racist and fascist propaganda. Due to the long decades of Catholic domination of Ireland, the state's attitude towards women, and particularly where their reproductive rights are concerned, has been very, very repressive. Until 1979, contraceptives were completely illegal in Ireland, and these were only... They were made legal in 1979, but until 1991, you had to have a prescription from your doctor to buy condoms, and you had to be able to prove to your doctor that you were married. In 1995, divorce was legalised, and this was legalised after a referendum campaign that was passed by only 8,000 votes. And the WSM were a very active participant in that campaign. We called for a yes vote in the divorce referendum. Abortion in Ireland remains completely illegal, and even where the life of the mother is at risk. And over the years, the Catholic Church has actually introduced several referendums to try and make it even more illegal than it is now. There have been 4 referendums in the last 20 years. The most recent one was about 3 months ago, and the government had tried to introduce a clause whereby any woman who had an abortion in Ireland was liable for 12 years in prison. We helped found the Dublin Abortion Rights Group in 1992, and this is still one of the only groups in the country which will openly and publicly call for free and liberal abortion rights for women. In 1992, there was a very big abortion case in Ireland when a 13-year-old girl was raped and became pregnant. She went to England to try and get an abortion. The government introduced a court order preventing her from having an abortion in England and brought her back to Ireland. This is known as the X case. We organised a march in response to this disgrace, and this march actually brought 15,000 people onto the streets of Dublin, and this put abortion reform on the agenda in Ireland for the very first time ever. In the most recent abortion referendum, we were part of the Alliance for a No Vote, which is a broad coalition of pro-choice movements. We distributed hundreds of thousands of leaflets door-to-door around the country. This effort proved well worth it, since we won the referendum by 10,000 votes. And this was the first time in Ireland ever that the combined forces of the Catholic Church, the government and the pro-life movement were ever defeated. Another area that we put a lot of work into is the oppression in Ireland based around the presence of the British state in the north. Although in the last few years the scale of the violence, the shootings and the bombings has certainly decreased since the ceasefire, on the ground Northern Ireland remains a very, very divided place. Unfortunately, we don't have any members in the north, and as well there's the factor that the Republican movement in the north has got a very strong control over any type of sort of community or grassroots organising there. So it's very difficult for us to have much impact there, but we do regularly participate in protests against the British state and against its local henchmen of the Orange Order. For example, anarchists participated in the very recent Bloody Sunday commemoration march in Derry to mark the 30th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, when 14 protesters were shot dead by the British Army. These events and protests give us the opportunity to show solidarity with the victims of this oppression, and they also allow us to distribute our propaganda. We always include articles about Northern Ireland in our paper, and we concentrate on opposing imperialism and the artificial border on our islands, but at the same time opposing nationalism and sectarianism. In the last few years, there has been something of a flowering of libertarian and anarchist ideas within the growing anti-globalisation movement in Ireland. Over the last couple of years, two new anarchist organisations have emerged in Ireland. Both of them are mainly based in the north. These are the Anarcho-Syndicalist Federation in Belfast and the Anarchist Federation in Warren Point, County Down. Although the WSM primarily aims to build a coherent anarchist organisation, we also think that it's very important for libertarians to build broad alliances with other libertarians wherever they agree on particular issues. So for the last few years we've put a lot of work into the construction of a broad anarchist and libertarian alliance within the anti-globalisation movement. We have established a network of sympathisers and contacts throughout the country who distribute our paper, and we have also We have also cooperated with independent activists to set up a Reclaim the Streets organisation in Dublin and a Critical Mass group. Within particular campaigns, we try, wherever possible, to build broad alliances of all the anarchists involved. For example, during the war in Afghanistan, we set up a group called the Anarchists Against the War. This included all three anarchist organisations and many independent activists. We carried out a direct action protest at Shannon Airport in the west of Ireland, which was an airport being used to illegally refuel American warplanes. Our most ambitious attempt to date has been the formation of Grassroots Gathering, which is a network of all the libertarian activists from a very wide range of different struggles in Ireland, especially from the environmentalist and the anarchist movements. So far in the last 6 months there have been two national meetings of the Grassroots Gathering, and these have both brought together about 80 people each. So far the Grassroots Gathering is going very well, and the Irish anarchist movement remains very free from the sectarianism that has plagued the movement in many countries. Finally, international work is something that we also consider to be very important. Capitalism is a global system and we need to organise globally to defeat it. We consider it very important for anarchists to do what they can to overcome the inequalities, the economic inequalities within the global anarchist movement. To this end, we have an international solidarity fund to which we donate 5% of our membership dues and give 25% of any profits from publications. We use this fund to donate money to anarchist projects in the third world. In the last number of years, we have given money to projects in Nigeria and the Czech Republic, among other places. We also offer practical assistance wherever possible with movements in the third world. For example, we host the websites of several groups, including the Chilean Quack and several groups in Africa. We also think it's very important to engage in the major debates of the international anarchist movement. To this end, we produce a theoretical magazine, and we concentrate on distributing this to anarchist bookshops and libraries around the world. On several occasions, we have organised speaking tours for foreign anarchists in Ireland. Most recently, we got a Czech anarchist to come to Ireland to speak just after the IMF meeting of the World Bank, the World Bank meeting in Prague in 1999, I think, yeah. Our members also put in a lot of work towards building tools for the international anarchist movement. It was WSM members who first set up the organised email list, the anarchist platform email list, and our members have put several years of work into the AINFO's International Anarchist Project. Most recently, we've engaged in even more ambitious projects. We have tried to create a network of, through our website, a network of anarchists around the world to produce in-depth and theoretical articles about topical issues. So far, we have produced two issues of the magazine called Against War and Terrorism. And this basically takes very in-depth anarchist look at the world today and the global forces at play of imperialism and the resistance to it. When people look at the various work that we have done over the years, many people assume that we are a very large organisation. And even within Ireland, lots of people think that we have got hundreds of members. However, the truth is that the WSM remains a very small organisation. We were set up by five people in 1984, and today we have just 13 members. Although our small size could be seen as a sign of failure, the difficulty of our task should be borne in mind. In 1984, the WSM was established in a country where anarchism was completely unknown. There are no famous Irish anarchists, no history of Irish anarchism, and there's not even any real modern history of grassroots organisation. It's a country where the left has always been very, very weak. Centre-right parties normally get about 70% of the vote, and the Labour Party never really gets more than 15% of the vote. After almost two decades of the WSM's existence, the anarchist movement in Ireland is stronger today than it has ever been before in the past. We have established ourselves as a very serious organisation of the left, and we have distributed an enormous amount of anarchist material around the country. We have developed the practical skills to organise campaigns and protests. Anarchism today is much, much more widely known in Ireland than it has ever been before in the past. We have put a lot of the practical work into the emergence of a broad libertarian movement in the country, and this is starting to show fruit. The day before I left Ireland, all three anarchist organisations came together to march in a block in a demonstration against the war in Palestine. There was three banners, dozens of anarchist placards and flags, and this was the largest show of an anarchist force ever in Ireland. Afterwards, members from all of the different organisations met up in a bar to basically discuss politics fraternally and have a few drinks. Yeah. In general, we think that the Irish anarchist movement is now in a very healthy state. So rather than seeing our small size as a sign of weakness, I see it as a demonstration of the immense amount of work that can be done by a small group of anarchists working together in a committed, disciplined and coherent way. Okay, so that's the end of the presentation. So any questions or comments that anybody might have, I'd be happy to field them.